68 is your invitation song.
I'm just not entirely sure if I like how Dad emphasizes that I'm his number two. And just bear in mind, that's in order of birth, not necessarily order of favorite, but I'm okay with that too. It's good to be here this morning. I know the weather sometimes can be a little cumbersome, and allowing us to move and go and do the things we enjoy doing. I hope that everybody had good Thanksgivings. We all look filled, which is good. It's good to have plenty and to be blessed. We definitely are blessed people. And I hope, whether you're visiting this morning, we want to extend a welcome to you. And you're a guest. And we just want to make sure you know that. But we, again, trying to be God's people and striving to do biblical things that we read and understand in the way that God would have us to do them, is important. So we just strive to do that. We are a sinful people. We struggle. We fail. We screw up. So again, if you're visiting, you're in good company, because this is a building full of sinners. This is a building full of people who need the Lord very desperately. And we just thank God each and every day for Him giving us the gift of His Son that has redeemed us and washed us of our sin. And that was no part of the lesson, but that's what we're about. So I want to make sure that we start with that, just reminding us of who we are. And it really helps us to be a grounded people and compassionate to those that we see around us who are still lost in their sin. And I appreciate Brian talking about that a little bit this morning on the table. Is really our job is to reach out and reach the lost. And that's who we should be about. Before we get started, if you bow with me briefly in a word of prayer as we go to God. Father, we come before you this morning. We thank you for the rain. We thank you for the bounty of Thanksgiving, the time that we have this time of year to be together with family and friends and those we love. Father, we thank you this morning for taking such good care of us and blessing us beyond what we deserve. And Father, in those very blessings, I pray that we will always be mindful of those around us who have less than we have, and that we will always reach out and we will be your hands and your feet and your arms, and we will be you, Father, to the people who your Son Jesus died for, and that we'll love those people and we'll show the love of your Son Jesus to those around us, in our neighborhoods, in our communities, in the workplace. Father, help us to be your precious Son Jesus to a lost and dying world. Help us to love the way he loved. Help us to live the way he lived. Father, I pray that as we open your word this morning, that you will touch our hearts. As we read some verses, Father, as we read some things that you would have us to know and understand, I pray that you'll open our hearts and our minds to receive your word. Father, your living and powerful and moving and active word. Bless us this morning as your people. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for redemption and forgiveness and salvation. It's only possible through the blood of Jesus, our Savior. And it's through him we pray. Amen. So this morning is a lesson actually that I'd given a few months back on a Sunday evening. And the elders probably thought it was good for me to remind myself of this lesson by giving it again, because that really is what I think makes lessons important is we have to introspectively look at ourselves. And that's probably a lot of where I have derived this lesson, and then clearly from Scripture. But I titled this lesson, Hearing, Do We Listen? Okay, hearing, do we listen? Because hearing is different than listening. We can hear things all day long, but listening means that we move. We do something about it. So do we listen when we especially hear God's word? And that's what I want to talk about with you this morning. James 1:19 says, My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Okay, let me say that again. Let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. For the wrath of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And there's something that I always remember. I think I've said it to my kids, but I believe that I heard it come from my wife more often than not. And that is that we have two ears and one mouth for a reason. Why is that? Why do we have two ears and one mouth? Because we should be listening twice as much as we speak. We really should. We learn, we gain knowledge from listening. We gain understanding and insight from listening. Not hearing, but listening. So when we see God's word, James starts out, "My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear," or swift to listen, slow to speak and slow to anger. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this morning. Psalms 119:14 says, "I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works that my soul knows them very well." You think about the way that we're made. God didn't make us with these two crazy little flaps of skin on the side of our head for no reason. They're sure not attractive, but they're purposeful. They're purposeful. And that's what's kind of interesting. It's almost like the things that really are the weirdest looking about us probably make the most sense. You know, some of us have tab doors, some are bigger than others. I know as we get older men, our noses and our ears seem to be the things that continue to grow, which is kind of weird. And then there's this wiry type hairs that grow out of them, and they really become unattractive. But I think it's probably because we need to use them more. But it's just interesting about that is we need to listen. We really need to be people that listen. And we should listen to our wives, absolutely. If my wife was here, she'd be back there nodding. We'd probably get a couple solid amens. But we need to be people who are quick to listen, people who are quick to hear. And we want to get into a little bit about that this morning. Look at Ezekiel 33. So we're going to start in the Old Testament. Ezekiel 33. Ezekiel 33, verse 30. This goes back as far as man records. Listen to what Ezekiel says here in verse 33, chapter 33, verse 30. "As for you, son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors of the houses. And they speak to one another, everyone saying to his brother, 'Please come and hear what the word is that comes from the Lord.' So they come to you as people do. They sit before you as my people and they hear your words, but they do not do them. They hear your words, O Lord, but they do not do them. For with their mouths they show much love, but their hearts pursue their own gain. Indeed, you are to them as a very lovely song of one who has a pleasant voice and can play well on an instrument. For they hear your words again," he says. "For they hear your words, but they do not do them. And when this comes to pass, surely it will come. Then they will know that a prophet has been among them." So even back in Old Testament times, even back, he's saying that they're listening to, he says, "O son of man, the children of your people are talking about you beside the walls and in the doors." And he says, they call him, come and sit and listen. And he says, and when they listen, they hear, but they do not do. They do not do. And we're going to make some application this morning, but I want us to understand that this is as old as the records of man, that we have been a people who will listen or will hear, but that's pretty much where it stops. And shame on us for being those kinds of people. We need to be the kind of people who hear, especially God's word, and do. We hear, we listen, and we do. We need to be people of action. Amen. Amos 8, what does this produce? Look at Amos 8:11. Because these are some of the things that we should fear. Look at Amos, towards the back of your Old Testament there. Amos chapter 8. Look, starting in verse 11. He says, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord God, that I will send a famine on the land." a famine of food. We're not going to have turkey next year. Maybe we're going to be looking and not find any stuffing. No. He says, there's a famine coming on the land, but it's not a famine of bread nor thirst of water. But of what? Hearing the word of God. Why? Hearing the word of the Lord. They shall wander from sea to sea, from north to east. They shall run to and fro, seeking the word of the Lord, but shall not find it. What happens when we hear God's word and we don't listen? Why would we have it any longer? Why would God continue to bless us with his word if we're people who don't listen to it? Anybody in here ever see that movie, The Book of Eli? Now, I see a few nodding heads. Pretty cool flick. It's a good movie. What was interesting about that movie? What was the one thing that the guy was looking for that had power? God's word. A Bible. The world had gone desolate. It had gone into anarchy. I mean, apocalyptic kind of crazy stuff. The one thing that they were seeking that had power was this, because people will listen. People should listen. We especially need to be people who listen to God's word when he speaks. Because what happens when we don't? He says, the days are coming. Who's sending this famine? The Lord. He says, I will send a famine, not of food, not of hunger, not of thirst, but of hearing the word of the Lord. Because people will lose their desire to listen. People will lose the desire to hear. But we need to be leaders. We need to be the people who are leading that charge. Amen. How much time? Think back to this last week. Okay, again, this is self-examination. I have to look at myself. I have to look at myself and his brothers and sisters before I could even remotely lift my eyes and look out at you. So I have to be honest with myself. And therefore, you have to be honest with yourself. Think about how much time you spent this last week in this. You have to ask yourself that question. How much time did I really give to my Lord this last week? How much time did I spend in God's word? Reading and understanding and listening and then doing something. Letting it penetrate my heart. Letting it change my mind. How much time did we spend in God's word this last week? And again, you have to answer that for yourself, because I do as well. Proverbs 7. We're going to spend a little bit. Spend another minute or two here in the Old Testament, and then we're going to get into some good New Testament application. Look at Proverbs 7, verse 24. Proverbs 7, starting in verse 24, it says, now therefore listen to me, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. Okay? Listen, he's saying. Listen to what I have to say. Verse 25. Do not let your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For she cast down many wounded, and all who were slain by her were strong men. Her house is the way to hell, descending to the chambers of death. But he starts out by saying, listen. Solomon is talking about a seductress. Okay, and it doesn't have to be a seducible woman. It could be anything else. What seduced you and I this last week? What pulled us away? What consumed our time? What consumed our time? Because I'm betting it wasn't God's word. At least, again, I can only answer for myself. But what consumes my time? Because it doesn't have to be a tempting woman like Solomon's talking about as he's talking to his sons. He says, now, therefore, listen to me, my sons, my children. Pay attention to the words of my mouth. What is God saying to you and I? He's saying, my sons and daughters in rescue. He's saying, listen to the words of my mouth. He's saying, what am I saying to you? Don't be seduced by the world. Don't be seduced by your own lusts. Proverbs 8, we're right there. Go a little bit farther. Now, therefore, listen to me, my children, for blessed are those who keep my ways. Hear instruction and be wise. Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at the posts of my doors. For whoever finds me finds life. Powerful words. Amen. He's saying, whoever finds me finds life. But he starts by saying, listen. Listen to what I have to say. And he's saying, don't just hear with your ears, but listen to the point of action. Listen to the point of doing. But he who sins against me wrongs his own soul. All those who hate me love death. Very pointed, very powerful things that Solomon is telling to encourage us to be people of hearing. Never once does he say, speak or say this or do. No, he's saying, listen. We need to start by listening. Amen. That is where we fail. That is where I fail miserably. Is I don't listen to what God is trying to have me to hear. I don't listen to what he would want me to do. Why does this make sense? Sure, not because I said it. Look at Matthew 7. It's because the Lord and Master said it. Flip over to Matthew 7. Matthew 7, 24. Jesus continues with the Sermon on the Mount, just a plethora of good stuff, and he's ending it. And usually, don't you end with something that you want to be remembered? That's usually how you finish. When you're sending your kids off, I love Alonda. She always tells our kids as they're going out the door, she says, be like Jesus. Make good choices. She doesn't say, remember your lunch. No, she wants to tell my kids something that she wants them to remember. It's the last thing she's sending them off with. What is Jesus? What is Jesus sending us off with here in Matthew 7? Starting in verse 24, he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended and floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain descended and the floods came and the winds blew and beat on that house. And it fell. And he doesn't stop there. And great was its fall. When people fall, when souls are lost, that's tragic. That's a travesty. Because we have the ability right here to change eternal souls. You and I have it. Most people in America have it sitting on their shelf at home. Most people don't get it and blow the dust off until 3,000 people go to work on September 11th in 2001. And don't come home that day. Most people don't realize that they're finite until they realize that we're not going to live forever. We're not meant to be here forever. But what we do here matters. What we do here is important and it's significant. And Jesus is telling us that right here when he says, therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine. What's interesting about this, brothers and sisters, there were those that heard it. He said, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them. And then he goes a little farther and he says, but whoever hears these sayings of mine and does not do them. But what's the common denominator? They all heard. There wasn't one that was without excuse and said, well, Lord, I didn't know. I didn't hear. Romans 1:20 says that they will be without excuse because it says even the creation clearly shows God's invisible attributes. Amen. He says so that they will be without excuse. Nobody's going to stand there before God Almighty who breathed this world into existence and is going to say, Lord, I just had no idea that you were there. No, he would say, fool, go outside and look around. You're looking at design. You're looking at creation. You're looking at something that was put together. We will be without excuse. Jesus is saying here, you're not going to have an excuse. The question is whether we're going to listen and do and build our house on a rock, or we're going to listen and not do. And he says, and great will its fall be. Great will that destruction be. Because a lost soul is devastating and it's destructive and it's tragic. And Jesus is trying to get us to understand that. His word is trying to get us to understand that. And I don't think there's something that says that any better than Jesus in his parables. So we're gonna go a little bit forward here. Look at Matthew 13. So Jesus goes from the Sermon on the Mount. Sometimes you have to have a good shake. Matthew 13, starting in verse 18. So Jesus here tells about the parable of the sower. He says, "Therefore hear the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who receives the seed on stony places is the one who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself. He endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of the world and the deceitfulness of riches choke out the word, and he becomes unfruitful." Verse 23. "But he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, and indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, and some 30. What again is the common denominator? What's the same in all four of these soils? There's four soils here. What's the same in all four soils? They all heard. They all hear. Not one of them did he say what seed was not sown. There's soil out here where seed is not sown. Every one of the soils received seed. And what did he say the seed is? The word of God. But what happens? He goes through and he talks about these soils. Each one of them is a heart of a person. Each one of them is you and I. We're all sitting here this morning, brothers and sisters, soil. Some of us might not endure the rest of our life. Some of us will endure. And he said some will produce. But we are all still a soil where the seed of the word of God has been sown. But the question is, what kind of soil are we? What kind of soil are we? Because they all heard. He said, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, is when the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. And then some was sown among the stony places. He hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. But what happened? Yet he had no root in himself, for he endured only for a time. For when tribulation and persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Do we think we're not going to face trial and tribulation in this life? The question is, it's not if we're going to face it, it's when. We know we're going to face tribulation in this life. We're going to face struggles. But are we ready for them? Are we ready for them? We're going to bury loved ones. Are you ready for it? We're going to lose jobs. Are we ready for it? There's things that are going to happen in this life. God doesn't promise us. In fact, he tells us that we will face persecution. We will suffer persecution for being Christians. But that's okay. That's okay. The question is, are we ready for it? We have to be ready for it. It's almost like a concept. You don't wait until you're thirsty. There's a lesson I've done years ago. It's called dig your well before you're thirsty. Don't wait until you're thirsty to go, man, I need to start finding water. Don't wait until you're hungry to go and start hunting or to go and gather. You prepare for it. Spiritually, are we prepared for the tribulations and the trials that will come at us in life, that we will face? Not only do we have to be founded in God's word, but we have to have a foundation of believers. We have to have a foundational family, which is why important that we are together and that we know each other and we love each other. And not only are we together in the good times, but we're together when the times aren't so good and when they're tough. And we know those that we can rely on. And we know those that are going to lift us up and help dust us off. So Jesus tells these parables for that very reason. Because he says the storms of life, where we read there in Matthew 7, he says, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, he will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. He said, because the storms came, the storms will come. And just prior to this, Jesus explains why. So what's the lesson to us? Look at Matthew 13. Back up a little bit there to verse 13. Matthew 13:13. So right before he tells the parable of the sower, Jesus goes into teaching in parables. Why does he do that? Why does he teach in parables? Verse 13, he says, therefore, I speak to them in parables because seeing they do not see and hearing they do not hear, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled, which says, hearing you will hear and shall not understand, and seeing you will see and yet not perceive. For the hearts of this people have grown dull. Is dull a good thing? We all carved a turkey a couple days ago. Try doing it with a rock. Try doing it with a dull knife. Take a knife out, drag it across your driveway a few times, and then go in there and try to carve that turkey. You're going to annihilate that thing. Okay? Ain't going to work. He said, their hearts have grown dull. Not because they heard. Back up there. He said, because they didn't listen. Because they didn't listen. Are we hearing it this morning, brothers and sisters? Are we listening? He's talking to the saved. He's talking to people like you and I. Do we hear God's word and not listen? You can only answer for yourself. I can only answer for me. He said, for their hearts of these people have grown dull. Their ears are hard of hearing and their eyes they have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears. Lest they should understand with their hearts and turn. Turn from what? Turn from their selfish ways. Turn from the things that trip us up each and every day. Turn from the things that pulled me away from God time this last week. Whatever it was that pulled me away from getting into God's word and listening. Letting him talk to me. And me talking back to my father who watched his son die and bleed out for me. Do I listen to him when he talks to me in his word? Do I even give him the time of day? Shame on me when I don't. Because he's talking to me right here. When he said, Adam, you hear, but you don't listen. You could see it, but your eyes are closed. We have to listen. We have to look. We have to be looking. Verse 16, there in Matthew 13. He says, but blessed are your eyes, for they see. Blessed are your ears, for they hear. For assuredly I say to you that many prophets and righteous men desired to see what you see, and they did not see it. And to hear what you hear, and they did not hear it. And you and I, we have the complete word of God today. We have heard the entirety of God. We have heard from his son. We're listening to him this morning. The question is, are we listening? We're hearing, are we listening? We have to listen. We have to listen. Amen. Something that I find is interesting as we start to draw to a conclusion here. I know Michael's been doing, taking us through Revelation, which is a wonderful book. And the seven churches of Asia there, Jesus says something that's very interesting at the end of each one of the churches as he addresses them. He talks to them about their strengths and their weaknesses, the things they're doing good and the things they're not, much like what we're doing this morning. I want you to listen to the things that God's word is talking to you about, that we will be listeners, we'll be people that listen and do. But something that Jesus said to the churches, much like he's saying to us this morning, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear. And again, he's not asking, did my heavenly father create ears on the side of your head when he made you and formed you in the womb? He's not asking that. He's not saying, hey, do you have ears on the side of your head? No, he's saying, You have ears. The question is, will you listen? You're hearing what's being said. The question is, will you listen? And the question is, in listening, do we do? Does it move us? Does it move us? Because we can hear and not listen. We can listen and not do. And we're going to look at something here in James in just a moment. But Jesus said that to the churches, much like he's saying that to you and I this morning. He says, he who has an ear, let him hear. And are we listening? Are we listening? We're going to finish in James 1. We started in James this morning, James 1:19. My beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, and slow to anger. Look there in James 1, verse 21. And we're going to draw this to a close. James 1:21. He says, therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your soul. Let me say that again. Therefore, lay aside all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness, and receive with meekness. Because we're all soils. We all received seed. The question is, what kind of soil are we? Are we going to produce, or are the cares of this world going to choke it out? And he says there, lay aside those things. James 1:21, he says, lay aside all filthiness and overflowing of wickedness. Makes us think about this last week a little bit, huh? Because it's easy to let the world creep in. And it's easy to let the world pull away the things that we should be about. The things that we've heard. The things that we've listened to. When God's word talks to us, do we do? Verse 22. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourself. You ever thought what it's like to deceive yourself, to allow yourself to be deceived? And he said, you can. And we do. We allow ourselves to be deceived. But he's saying, don't. Be a doer of the word and not a hearer only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man observing his natural face in a mirror. For he observes himself and goes away and immediately forgets what kind of man he was. But he who looks into the perfect law of liberty, you have it laying right there in your lap. He who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work. He didn't say a doer of the word. He said a doer of the work. There's things we need to be doing. He said, he who looks into the perfect law of liberty and continues in it, and is not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this one will be blessed in what he does. Do you want to be blessed, brothers and sisters? Amen. I know I do. I want to be blessed. And I'm going to be blessed when he says, Adam, listen to what I'm telling you to do. Listen to what I'm saying to you. And when you listen, are you doing? Am I doing? And what am I listening to? Am I listening to God's word? And am I letting it touch my heart? Am I letting it move me? Am I letting it move me? Because we're all soils here this morning. We all have had the seed that has been planted in our hearts. You've heard God's word. The question is, what are we going to do with it? Do you let him talk to you? Do you read his word? And when you read it and understand it, do we do what it says? Because we have things that he's called us to do. We have got to be people of action. We have to realize that we have the ability to change people's eternal destiny. Have you ever thought of that? Have you ever thought that you have the ability, through God, of course, we can't do anything in and of ourselves. That's very clear. But with God's ability and allowing his son to climb upon a tree and to put nails through him, and he gave his life. In Jesus doing that, and we have that knowledge, we can change people's eternal destiny, their eternal soul. Amen. You talk about power. But why is it that I'll take this precious word home and I'll lay it on my shelf and I'll take my Christianity or my religion, if you will, and I'll hang it up when I walk in the door, and it's almost like I won't get it again until I come on a Wednesday night or Sunday morning again. It's almost like I forget who I am. I forget who God has made me to be. So the question is, who am I listening to? Who am I listening to? And I'm going to close with a poem this morning. Brother Kerry Williams, he's a wonderful brother in the Lord, just a true soldier of Christ. He wrote some poems years ago. It's called Reflections on What Matters. And I love it. They're just really sweet poems. And we're going to close with this morning. It's called To Whom Will I Listen? So I want you to think about yourself this morning. Okay? To whom do you listen to? Who do I listen to? To whom will I listen? It seems so very strange. When opposite messages flood my heart, yet sound convincingly the same. Worry will tell me to hold back. He'll say I'm doomed to lose. But you, O God, speak through your word. Tell me the victory is mine to choose. Doubt will then raise his voice. Cry, no, you cannot succeed. Yet the Holy Ghost gently whispers to me, you have faith. It's all you need. Guilt speaks up. He speaks so loud. He says, remember the things you've done. But God speaks again with tear-filled eyes. That was all taken care of by my son. Then the meanest voice of all chimes in. His name is fear, and he hates me so. He calls me weakling, coward, failure, and more. What insecurity his words will sow. Yet a tiny voice comes to my defense. It is Jesus saying, I will leave you never. The words become stronger as I read and pray. Will he really stand by me forever? So here in the moment where I must choose, to whom will I listen, fear or love? Will I heed the lies of my emotions deep within or hear the loving voice from above? So brothers and sisters, this morning, you've heard his voice. You've heard the loving voice of a master who gave his son. You've heard the loving voice and you've heard the eternal words of God through his son as he encourages you and I, not just to hear, but to listen. To whom will you and I listen? To whom will we give our time to this week? Will we give it to the seduction of the world? Will we give it to our own lusts? Will we give in to our own temptations? Or will we purposefully and prayerfully make time to sit down with God's word and let him touch here in my heart again this week? So the question is, to whom will you listen? Who do we listen to? I pray that you and I will listen more and more to God's word. But to do that, we have to purposefully open it and prayerfully read it and listen to what he has to say to you and I. Because there's people you and I both love. There's some you can only reach in your circle of influence, or some I can only reach in my circle of influence. But I have to care enough about them. I have to care enough about them to purposefully allow the master to take me and open those doors of opportunity to reach and love those that Jesus went to a cross for. So if you're here this morning and you're not a child of God, don't leave in that same state. If you have not named the name of Jesus and died with him in baptism, as Romans talks about, and raised to a new life, then don't leave this morning lost if you've come lost. You can leave with Jesus being the influencer of your life and naming him as your Lord and Savior. Amen. And that's what's required of us. And then to repent and to turn your life around and to follow him. And again, as I started this morning, this is a room full of sinners who need Jesus desperately each and every day. And we're only here because we recognize that. And we love what the Lord has done for each and every one of us. Amen. So if you're here and you're not a child of God, please make it known as we stand and sing. Or if you need the prayers of this congregation, we're here for that as well. We just want to be here to encourage you in any way that we can as we stand and sing the song of encouragement. 868.
The great physician now is near the set, the fighting Jesus. He treats the drooping heart to hear, oh, hear the voice.